This is SB Nation Radio from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Here's Joe Spano.
Well, the Toronto Raptors made big news yesterday, acquiring probably one of the five best players in the game when healthy, in Kawhi Leonard. Initially said he had no interest in going there, but looks like there's dialogue that the frosty air is getting a little warmer. So let's bring in Michael Grange from Rogers Sportsnet to break it all down. Michael, welcome to the program. It is great to talk to you tonight.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. Let's dive right in. Initially, when the trade was announced, DeMar DeRozan was unhappy because he didn't want to leave Toronto, and Kawhi Leonard was unhappy because he didn't want to go to Toronto. I've read in a bunch of places that there's been dialogue between the Raptors and Kawhi Leonard and his people, because I don't know whether you actually talk to Kawhi or you have to talk to all his people and they relay messages. But it seems that there's a little bit of a thaw here, and Kawhi is pretty comfortable, from what I'm hearing, at least playing the 2018-2019 season in Toronto and getting paid handsomely to do so.
Yeah, my understanding is that there have been conversations with Kawhi's people, his agent, his uncle, but also with Kawhi himself, more than multiple conversations. And, you know, any of the kind of negativity or resistance that may exist or certainly had been talked about didn't come forward in those conversations. The expectation is Kawhi Leonard will be ready to play, ready to report, do what's needed for him to have the kind of season he needs to have to prove to the NBA that he's the player he was just 2 years ago. I think, you know, part of that, like, let's not get too ahead of ourselves. It's not like all of a sudden the light went on and Kawhi Leonard wants to move to Canada and raise his family here. I mean, I think, although he should, it's a great place. I think it's a recognition that this is where he's, the Raptors hold his contract. If he wants to play basketball, this is where he's going to play it. And, you know, whatever happens next year in free agency will, in a large part, depend on him having a good year up here in Toronto and proving that whatever went down in San Antonio, both health-wise and off the court, were an anomaly. And he's ready to be, you know, a top five player in the NBA for the years to come.
I mean, the realities are, as you kind of alluded to, he really had no choice. It's not like he can say, well, I'm not going to play. Because two things happen, if I'm not mistaken, and you can enlighten us on this as well. If he decides not to play and he can't prove that he's injured, well, he doesn't get paid, number one. And number two, this idea of leaving Toronto via free agency doesn't happen because the Raptors would still hold his rights, as he wouldn't accrue the service time that he would need to leave. So the realities are a healthy Kawhi Leonard is going to play a whole bunch of games in Toronto, and he has little choice in the matter, whether he likes it or not, at least for the 2018-2019 season, correct?
I think that's a fairly – that's an accurate representation of the situation. Now, the wild card in that scenario is that he gets ready, gets healthy. My understanding is, you know, he's not playing five-on-five basketball yet, but, you know, he will. But the wild card is he does all the right things and his body tells him it's ready and he passes his physical and everyone signs off on everything. And 10, 12, 15, 30 games into the season, whatever issue he had that cost him a season last year flares up. So that's another wild card. But you would think a sound interpretation of this whole situation would be he'll get himself ready physically. He'll come and play a great season in Toronto, and he will be in the driver's seat for his free agency a year from now. And any of the unpleasantness that went down in San Antonio, and it's had kind of a cloud over him, will dissipate, and he'll be able to write his ticket.
Now, you mentioned Toronto, and you know, he had initially alluded to the fact, and his people had alluded to the fact, that he had no interest in going up to Toronto and playing. And you had mentioned, I don't understand why, it's a great city, and it is. Let's be fair. You know, it's cold in the winter, but no more so than, say, Detroit or Cleveland here in the good old U.S. of A. But the realities are that Toronto is perhaps one of the most cosmopolitan cities in all of North America, and there's probably about as much to do in Toronto as there is in any city in North America, including New York, Chicago, and L.A.
I've been around this team for 20 years, and a couple of things have happened over those 20 years. The number of players who've arrived in Toronto and wanted to get out because they didn't enjoy the city, you could probably count them on three hand, on less than one hand. You know, it just doesn't happen. A much more common scenario is players arrive, they quickly realize that this is, you know, a fun place. It's all the great things that a major center has. It's safe. It's welcoming. It's all these great qualities, and they come to like it very much. And there's been much less resistance to Toronto as an NBA market, as more and more NBA players have had a chance to experience it over the years, and B, you know, and you have guys like LeBron James. He'll come up here for summer, you know, just because he likes Toronto. Like, I mean, and that's been a story. Shaq does it. You know, go on down the list. I mean, it is a destination spot. And then the other factor is the organization is a very good organization. They are, after Golden State and maybe Houston, off the top of my head, they are the most successful team of the last five seasons in the NBA. So there's no stigma anymore about playing here and what the organization is all about. So, you know, there's more, the scenario is more common that a player comes here, gets over whatever reservations they have, and ends up really liking it than the reverse.
Let's talk about this Raptors group for 2018-2019 and the complexion of this team with this trade. No knock on DeMar DeRozan. You know, he was a star player in this league and probably one of the top 25 players in the NBA. But what you got in Kawhi Leonard is a player that, when healthy, is a better fit for today's NBA, is potentially a top five player in the league, and one of the two or three best two-way players in this entire league. So talk a little bit about how much better he makes the Raptors and how maybe they can get over the hump in the postseason in a way they weren't able to with DeRozan and Lowry leading this team. Now it's Lowry and Leonard. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, there's two ways to interpret that. Let's be optimistic. Let's say that Kawhi Leonard gets back into the kind of to the level he was at before all this went down in San Antonio. And as you point out, he is top three, top five player in the league. The Raptors, as well as Danny Green, no one ever talks about him arriving, but you know, there's as good a complimenting wing player as there is in the NBA in terms of a role player. The entire roster now has abundant shooting, tons of switchability, you know, great athleticism, and, you know, a guy in Leonard who can get it done offensively like almost no one in the league and can get it done defensively like no one in the league almost ever has. So that does change the complexion of this team. I think it makes them a better team than they were with DeMar, as much as I respect everything about him. But here is the caveat. Is there's a couple of things that are quick to be overlooked. One, I am not sold. I have no idea, and I don't think anyone should have any full confidence in Kawhi Leonard's ability to turn in a 70 or 75-game NBA season. Like, why? Why would we believe that's a lock? We can't. And if he's not, then this team is not as good as it was with DeMar DeRozan, who was an absolute Iron Man and has been his entire career. Two, DeMar DeRozan was essential to the fabric of this organization and this team. He was the unassuming superstar. He was the most liked player on the team by his teammates, by the media, by fans. His level of commitment to the city, both in word and in action, was unprecedented in franchise history. And to boot him out the door, quite unceremoniously, after probably the best season of his career. He made second team All-NBA. The team won a record 59 games. Those are big shoes for Kawhi Leonard to fill, and he comes in as a guy who's inscrutable. There's no record of him being a leader. He's given this huge mantle of responsibility to take this team to the promised land, and yet he's got zero to no relationship with his teammates, zero to no relationship to the community, and a body that's suspect. So there is a downside to this. And, you know, and for all the people involved and the fans here in Toronto, I absolutely hope that it's the Kawhi Leonard we've known and come to revere as a player, and not a guy who's, you know, only putting in the time or isn't physically able to play.
Well, you know, this is a team that is far from just Kawhi Leonard now and Kyle Lowry. OG and Anunoby, you know, is a developing young piece. Fred VanVleet had a big year as a backup point guard, and I could see his role expanding some. You know, you got Pascal Siakam as well. Talk about some of these young guys and their ability to grow and develop and maybe not necessarily become stars or superstars, but be real quality pieces that can help this team push beyond what it was just last year even.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think the one key thing that made this trade a little easier to swallow from, you know, from even people who hold DeMar DeRozan in such high esteem as myself is, you know, they didn't have to give up a lot of their young pieces. Now, Jakob Poeltl is a guy who I think he can be really good, huge IQ player, a lot of up quality. So it's not like the Spurs got a dud. But Siakam and Anunoby, in particular, are two guys that maybe people don't really know a lot about, but they have all the qualities to be elite, at the very least, elite role players on excellent teams. And, you know, each of them, if they can really put together, you know, all the kind of pieces of their game, each of them could be touching all-star type potential. They're high-quality players, high IQ players. Fred VanVleet, you mentioned, he might be the smartest player in a Raptors uniform. He is a guy that veterans come to, coaches come to discuss game plans, etc. He is just a rock. And then, you know, and DeLon Wright's a good player and down the list. So there is a lot of upside here with this group that is a lot to be excited about. And, you know, and I think if Kawhi Leonard, like we said, can come and be the kind of player we all know him to be, Siakam and Anunoby in particular will have a great example to learn from, that even if Leonard ends up being 1 year, I think his influence could be instrumental in their development.
You know, it's interesting, as we get ready to kind of tie a bow around this, you talked about now abundance of shooting, switchability, being able to play a variety of different looks and lineups from big to small to everything in between. They're deep, two and three deep at really just about every position on the floor. So when you look at this Raptors group, and, you know, many of us before this trade had anointed the Boston Celtics and the Philadelphia 76ers now the Kings of the East for the next several years. Well, this trade kind of muddies the waters a little bit. So how do you see this all shaking out in 2018-2019? Are the Raptors still the team to beat in the East, or have the Celtics and maybe even the 76ers moved ahead of them?
You know, I would still maybe put my money on the Celtics. They've got to sort of integrate, you know, Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward, but, you know, you saw what they did in the playoffs. They look like a team that's really poised to take off. And I would say with the Raptors, I would have them in at number two again. I always have to say this because we kind of, you know, people tend to rush around it. If Kawhi Leonard is A, healthy, and B, playing up to the standard we've seen him, I think the Raptors have a chance to push the Celtics and be a number two and all of that. But, you know, again, I am, you know, I know it's July, everyone loves to be excited, but I'm going to wait and see. You know, I want to believe it. I'll believe it when I see it. I want to see him playing. I want to see him committed. I want to see him meshing. And if all those things happen, then, you know, I think the Raptors can be a very dangerous team.
Michael, you said it all. You said it very well. Great insight into this Toronto Raptors organization and the short-term and long-term future. Really do appreciate it. Hopefully we can do it again soon, my friend.
Anytime. Thank you. Enjoyed it.
You got it. Bye-bye now. Michael Grange, Rogers Sportsnet, breaking it all down as far as the Toronto Raptors. We'll tie a bow around hour one next here on SB Nation Radio. Joe Spano and Bobby Beats with you until 1 a.m. Eastern time. You be sure to keep it where it is.